God's grace to you and peace from him who still can give it, from the right hand of God in heaven, our crucified, risen, victorious, and ascended Lord Jesus. We're meditating on words printed on page 9, right in the middle of your worship folder, from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. Paul and Silas went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Because they were prevented by the Holy Spirit from speaking the word in the province of Asia. When they went as far as Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul during the night. A Macedonian man was standing there, urging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." As soon as he had seen the vision, we immediately made plans to proceed to Macedonia because we concluded that God had called us to preach the good news to them, the word of the Lord. We pray. Lord Jesus, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Diversity, united. And it seems to me that the more we Americans talk about being united, the more disunited we are. It's almost like we don't know much about early American history and the arguments and mudslinging that went on even between the first two presidents while they were still candidates. Well, not the first one. George Washington was just a gentleman admired by everybody, but James Adams and Thomas Jefferson, whoa, you got to read it and see, nothing new under the sun. It's so disgusting that a dear neighbor of mine stopped in when the garage door was open one day a couple years ago and was asking me about a worship service he attended in a local church where the preacher was going on and on about all her political views. And he was kind of feeling guilty because he thought that was pretty terrible. He was mad, but he had been in church. And he said, "I didn't come to listen to that." And I said, "That's all right. I wouldn't go either. And the people where I serve wouldn't put up with that from me." Thank the Lord. We have better things to talk about. That will never unite us. I mean, just take one example. We're still hurting from this American stain of slavery. Yes, there's still pain. And you might think it's only a few in certain cultures. I guess I was that naive at one time too, until I was teaching high school shortly after seminary graduation, and one of my students heard me refer to the Civil War, raised his hand and corrected me. "That was the war of Northern aggression," he said in his Georgia accent. All of that's still going on, but it's nothing new. In Bible times, there are historians that tell us that in the Roman Empire, at certain times, 25 to almost 50% of the citizens were not really citizens. They were slaves. Wasn't quite the cruelty in most cases as American slavery was, but slavery nonetheless. There's even a report about blonde-haired, blue-eyed boys being sold in the slave market in Rome. And a Christian abbot named Gregory saw that and his heart went out to them. And he looked at them because obviously as an Italian and most of the civilized world at that time, he was olive-skinned and civilization went darker and darker down deep into Africa. But these guys, he said, they will be called Anglos, and God will make them angels. Gregory was instrumental as a personal missionary and finally as a pope for sending the missionaries up into the lands of the barbarians up there to the north. up to England, what we call it now. And it was through one of those missionaries named Augustine that most of England was converted. He converted Ethelbert. There's a quote from Augustine's tomb, which happens to be in the Cathedral of Canterbury. Gregory evangelized what is now England. Augustine was buried as the first archbishop, and it says, "Here rests Augustine, first archbishop of Canterbury, who being sent hither by Gregory, bishop of Rome, reduced King Ethelbert and his nation from the worship of idols to the faith of Christ." There came unity in diversity, but not the way some of the great powers planned it, right? And the Roman Empire kept advancing up into the land of those barbarians up to the north, the Anglos up there. You remember what stopped them? Maybe you haven't been to New Ulm, Minnesota. Because up on the hill, right next to MLC, our College of Ministry, is a huge statue that had to be taken down for a while and repaired because of a lightning strike. His sword is pointed up. Great weather vane, right? Lightning rod. Herman the German stopped the Roman armies in the forests of Germany and is actually the hero of Germany for not letting those Roman conquerors come up that far. Oh, how God keeps reminding us of his mercy and grace that got the gospel out of the Mediterranean world up to where our ancestors would hear it. And most of us here are still being blessed because of what we were reading about in Acts chapter 16. Plans that didn't get carried out. Plans that ended up being thwarted by God the Holy Spirit with the Apostle Paul, who we've heard about in recent sermons. Acts chapter 9, and the story retold in Acts 22, and then again in Acts 26, because he keeps on telling how he, as Saul of Tarsus, the violent persecutor of Christians, got turned around, which is a word that means converted, to worship Christ as his own Lord and Savior, the Messiah of his own Jewish people. He needed an antidote for his pride too. But so did the rest of the disciples. You remember when the disciples, it was John, reported in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, John, the disciple Jesus loved, says, "Master," obviously speaking to Jesus, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he is not following you along with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not try to stop him, because whoever is not against you is for you." We rejoice. Paul even said that. "Even if the gospel is spread out of wrong motives, I rejoice," he said, "because Jesus is glorified and praised." And those same disciples got into trouble when parents were bringing their babies to Jesus to have them blessed and touched by Jesus, and the disciples are trying to stop them for whatever reason. And Jesus rebuked them, his own disciples, and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Over and over again, we see that we really need some help from the Lord first as an antidote for our own pride. Because we make plans, and sometimes they're really good plans, and for some reason the Lord says, "Nope, not that one, not that one." What we have here in Acts chapter 16 is basically a map of what is today Turkey. Then it was Asia Minor on your Bible maps. But if you follow the places where the Apostle Paul and his companions, including Silas and Timothy, I think is with them by this time, they're just trying to go with the gospel. Because that's the word that Jesus uses in his great commission in Matthew 28 and again in Mark chapter 16. Go! And while going, keep going everywhere you go. Proclaim the good news. So they're doing that. And they tried to go to Phrygia and Galatia. They went through those areas because now this is their second missionary journey, and that's where they had been in the first one. All right, if you read the book of Acts, as I explained before. But now they wanted to speak the word of God in Asia, which would take them to the west toward Ephesus. And it said they were prevented by the Holy Spirit. We don't know how that worked, but the Lord had opened doors in other places, and now when they're trying to go into that one, it's just not working. There are neighborhoods even around this church where for years I've passed through them, or other visitors from our congregations and mailings and so forth, and I maybe remember once a family coming. Fortunately, they were Christians. They went other places. That's fine. But for the most part, if the gas tank is full and the refrigerator is fine and the investments are doing okay, we just don't feel the need for the Lord. And maybe the Apostle Paul, I don't know, I don't want to put words into his mouth or thoughts, but I just put myself in his position. You know, when things go well, we start to get a little bit full of ourselves. I don't know. Certainly happens to me. And the Lord wouldn't have it, not from me, not from anyone else. So they went as far as Mysia. They're headed north, trying to go into Bithynia, which is up by the Black Sea. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow that either. So what are they supposed to do? They're getting turned around. Then they head to what would be the southwest. And they end up down along the shore of the Aegean in Troas. One place after another, the Lord says no. The Lord uses our troubles and our reversals as church workers, as volunteers, as you and your family and your community, your best efforts, you're trying your best to be witness to the Lord, because that's what he tells us to do, right? You've got loved ones and friends that you've been showing the love of Jesus to, just watching and praying for an opening, and nothing. Happened to me too. I've told you those stories. I like to tell those stories in BIC class. What are you supposed to do? Well, the Lord's Apostle Paul and his companions just kept going. They didn't give up. Somehow, some way, in his own time, in his own place, God is going to open a door. And there will be blessings. Because Christ has ascended on high. And Christ is in charge. And he will close some doors and open others as he desires. And teach us and encourage us and strengthen us all at the same time. Because that's how he does for his children. The antidote for pride worked until the Lord Jesus did something miraculous by giving Paul a vision in Troas. That word vision comes up more times in the book of Acts than any other book in the New Testament. And you look at that and say, dreams, visions? We'll talk more about that next Sunday, because it's in Peter's Pentecost sermon too, about dreams and visions and so forth. But just this much today, those visions have to be tested. And this one was tested by the Word of God. Does it fit in the Word of God as written in the Holy Scriptures, or does it take us outside them and away from them? So they had a vision, Paul had a vision during the night. A Macedonian man was standing there urging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Well, that's across the water. That's northern Greece. That's where Alexander the Great had come from, right? Come over to Macedonia and help us. And as soon as he had seen the vision, we immediately made plans to proceed to Macedonia because we concluded that God had called us to preach the good news to them. You know what's happening. Up to this point, the Holy Spirit has inspired Luke to write about they. Paul's mission team with Silas and Timothy that got as far as Troas after all of these detours. And finally, that must be where they met Dr. Luke. And watch for that in the book of Acts. It's fascinating because he will report we as they proceed on to Philippi, which is right away in Acts chapter 16. And then when Paul and Silas leave Philippi, it's back to they again. But Luke joins them again later. So scholars studying Acts, you try to figure out where everybody was at different times during Paul's ministry. It's a fascinating study by itself. But you can tell when Dr. Luke is there and he's along because the good Lord had his team headed out to answer that cry for help. The cry for help to help in Macedonia was not a request for more worldly religions. I've often told people, and I encourage you to do that too, that if all I knew about religion was what I read in the news or hear about from people or read on the internet, I wouldn't believe it either. The stuff that people write about the Bible even is just so twisted, so ridiculous. And some of you know that, and it's aggravating. They have an axe to grind. It's going to stay that way. But what convinces me that the Bible is true is what we read in those sentences from Psalms, among other places, where if you look at those psalm by psalm by psalm in this worship folder today, 1,000 years before Christ, the details are there, including the fact that who was it that ascended in Psalm 47? It says God ascended. Jesus is called God. He's called the Lord in that same psalm. And God is ruling on his throne. God is ruling the nations. No question about it from the Bible that Jesus is God, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. And Paul was determined to get that word out. Not another worldly religion to tell people how to save themselves, do this, do that. Nah, we can't, because God demands perfection. And we can't give it. He's holy. He's righteous. He's good. And we're everything but that. You don't believe that? Just wait. Sometime today or tomorrow, if you're having trouble recognizing your sin, something will happen. You'll say something or do something, or I'm just, I guess, speaking from personal experience, when things go well and I start to get a little uppity, and then, yeah, sure enough, I'm back on my knees again. Lord, forgive me. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags, and it's true of me. And Paul, in Romans 7, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's determined to tell them about the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. The fact that the arrow points down with God's grace that comes to us. The arrow does not point up with what we can give to God. Nobody can even redeem his own life, much less redeem the life of someone else, says the Lord. So the arrow can't point up as if any of us could raise ourselves up to God. It always points down as God came down in the person of his only begotten Son, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell as part of his triumph to preach the gospel, power, and victory. Third day rose again and ascended into heaven. And if you don't know what to say, you've memorized the Apostles' Creed. Say it. One of our members was talking about a stepdaughter among her friends out west who were all hardcore unbelievers and couldn't believe that she was a Christian. And all she did was basically tell them what she believed from the Apostles' Creed. And the Lord turned those girls around. It's got power in and of itself. A quote from a pastor's paper back in 1997. Salvation in all its parts, including the sacraments, is of and from and through Christ alone. It is always and ever the merciful shower of grace gently falling upon our hard hearts to soften them and give them life as the gospel is proclaimed. And he's softening our hearts now too, so that the word can be proclaimed and the seed fall in good soil. So what happened? Paul had a plan. The Lord said no. Asia Minor, the Lord would take care of through Peter. If you read in Peter's first letter, he goes up to Bithynia. It says there, Bithynia was taken care of by a different apostle. And other places like Asia through Epaphras, who was from Colossae, who must have come to meet Paul when Paul got to Ephesus later, came back to Asia. The Lord had his plans. And maybe it's through others that God wants to reach somebody. I've come away from situations where, Lord, I did my best. I see nothing changing there. Stubborn hearts still keep on praying. Because the Lord can reach through other people. And he's typically, honestly, as you ask, you will find out from people you're not the first one to tell them these wonderful works of God. So out of dark Africa and up into olive-skinned Mediterranean world, to those Anglos up north went the gospel. And from terrible times of Christians persecuting and killing Christians in England, the separatists, the Protestants, who killed the Catholics when the Protestants were on the throne, and the Catholics killed the Protestants when they were on the throne. And if you wonder why people are disturbed about Christianity, there's part of your answer. The things done in the name of Jesus, despicable. You might as well admit it. But what does God do as Christ rules on high? He makes people come over to distant shores, the islands, the distant shores where we are over here. And the gospel comes. And hard hearts are softened, and the gospel grows, and missionaries go out into the world so that the one stained glass window that we have above the altar here at New Life, with the hemispheres, east and west, we didn't know when Steve Williams designed that, 1990, when that was, 92 installed as he went home to heaven. We've personally been able to go, members of our congregation and our children, to distant shores, including China. Last place in the world I wanted to go. But that's where the Lord had me go. Now what's happening as the communists crack down on all religion in mainland China, and now they've got Hong Kong under their power too? It's called the Chinese diaspora. If you want to read about that, let me know. Tell you where, there's a great magazine on that. I'll pass that to Mark next. Mark, you can give it on. That's a good reading, what the Lord is doing. Christians from China going to Australia, which is why we had to send some missionaries there. Going to London, which is why we had to send some missionaries there. And I'm told that the Chinese are more welcome from Hong Kong in London than these former colonists from America. Honestly, our missionaries had more trouble with visas coming from America than the Hong Kong Chinese coming from a communist country now. Wow. The diaspora. Because not even the rulers can stand up against the Lord. I'm going to read just a couple paragraphs to close here from a book by Randy Elkhorn called Safely Home. He puts these words in the mouth of a Chinese individual in his book, but I've heard things like this from Chinese Christian friends. Jesus here is Yesu. Yesu does not cower before strutting dictators. He does not bow before petty warlords like Mao, Stalin, and Hitler. Mao is responsible for his evil, but not Mao could not thwart God. In 100 ways, he prepared the way for the spread of the gospel throughout mainland China like no missionary could. Mao Zedong was in the news in the 1960s in what's called the counter-revolution, one of the reasons why I was so scared, literally scared, to go to China. And there are millions of Christians living there, one of whom told me that the harder the communists try to put down Christianity, the more it spreads. Why? Because Christ high ascended. Reading on. When Mao came to power, there was no road system. Missionaries who worked inland China traveled for 7 months. They lived on the backs of mules for the final weeks of their journey. When Mao built the roads, the church could reach the same countryside in less than a week, and now on trains or buses, not mules. When I got to fly into Xi'an, that's X-I-A-N, Xi'an, China, where the terracotta soldiers are, that was in 2012, I was amazed at the awesome airport, almost empty. But these are work projects. Everybody is guaranteed a job. So they build these fabulous airports, and you can travel all over China like that. At least we could then. When Mao assumed power in China, China was divided by 300 languages and 1,000 dialects. They identified 80 ethnic groups in China, which was news to me. But Mao signed a decree making Mandarin the official language. He required all business and education and public conversation to be in Mandarin. Imagine a law being passed where you have to learn another language. Mao ordered that the 47,000 pictorial characters, no alphabet, pictorial characters, 47,000 be simplified so his red book could be small and easy to carry. Communist propaganda. They were reduced to 1,500. Suddenly, God's word could be translated much more easily, and the whole nation could be reached with one translation. All the Bible translators could not have done what Mao Zedong did for the church. Only 6% of the nation could read, so he ordered literacy training, and now nearly 90% can read, nearly all who live in the cities. And are they reading Mao's little red book? No. They're reading the words of Yesu. Yesu. That is whenever we can get the Bible into their hands. Mao intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. Mao set himself up as a god, but he was but an errand boy for the true God. As surely as God used Pharaoh to lead his people out of Egypt and into the promised land, he used Chairman Mao to establish the church in China. So, peace the way the world wants it, not going to happen. Jesus says wars will go on to the very end, and rumors of wars still happening. He also says that in families there will be strife that will break your heart, cause many tears, and you'll keep on praying. Keep on hoping, because that's what love does. And since Christ has ascended, as he promised, he can keep his promise to his disciples just before he went to the cross and shed his blood for us all. Jesus said then, as he says to us now, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Still today, in the power of God's mercy and grace, we worship our Lord Jesus Christ, the ascended King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and long for that one promise to be fulfilled, that he would come again and take his own home to glory In the meantime, since God's wrath is also coming on Judgment Day, we will use every opportunity we can to reach out with the good news that Christ died for all, washed away the sins of all, justified all objectively, whether they believe it or not. So, for God's sake, believe it. Trust in Him, and salvation is yours. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.